It's time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Journey of Giving Back. You know, the show is only about those that are making a difference, those motivational, inspirational stories, those making the communities better, stronger. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube and please follow us and listen to us wherever you get your podcast streaming services. This week, we're going to be talking about a very important subject that can touch all of our lives at any given second. It's drug abuse. This is unfortunately the reality we live in. I don't care where you live. You could be extraordinarily wealthy or very poor, unfortunately. Drug usage, drug abuse, deaths, the opioid crisis with fentanyl-laced drugs. It's the scourge of our society. Today, we're going to be talking with Les Wexler. We're going to talk about Les Wexler's incredible organization, Rockaway Township Substance Abuse Alliance Organization. He and some close friends founded this back in 1998 in Rockaway, New Jersey. And we're going to explore with Les Wexler why, what made him decide to get involved, to basically educate the public. Good morning, Les.
Good morning, Todd, and it's a pleasure to be here.
You know, it's an honor to have you on, Les, and when I was thinking about you coming on today, I was thinking about the gravity of the show, the importance of the show, and I hope for all the listeners, this is something important. You know, most people out there either have children or know people that have younger kids, and it's important. You know, your organization, Positive Choices and a Brighter Future, and you're wearing your shirt today. It's a beautiful shirt. It's really important to me. I'm a dad. I got young kids. And unfortunately, I know growing up kids that unfortunately got mixed up with drugs and overdosed. And sadly, that's the reality of the world we're living in today. So let's go back a little bit about yourself, Les, for the listeners. You live in Rockaway Township, New Jersey.
That's correct.
How long have you been living there?
I've been living in the White Meadow Lake section of Rockaway Township. It'll be 36 years this year.
Now, your background, I know that, are you blessed with, you have family?
Yes, been married next month. My wife and I will be married 48 years. I have three grown daughters, 43, 41, and 34, and I have two grandchildren.
Well, God bless you.
Thank you.
So, the organization you founded with someone else in 1998 is dealing with drug abuse, and were you involved as a counselor back then? What made you get involved?
No, actually what happened was back in the late 90s, drug abuse was running rampant. And in Morris County in 1998, there were 22 drug overdose deaths in Morris County, and almost 20% of them were right from Rockaway Township. And two of the four that passed away from Rockaway Township were 17-year-olds, males, who passed away within 6 weeks of each other. One of them happened to be a very dear friend of my daughter, my middle daughter. And he had passed away. And to have to tell your daughter that, you know, her a very good friend of hers is gone, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. It was actually one of the toughest things to do. And, you know, and we're saying, a few of us got together and said, you know what? Kids need to be made aware of the dangers of drugs at an early age. You can't wait till high school because, as one of my daughters once said, if you wait till high school, you know, you miss the boat. And middle school is where it all starts. And so a few of us got together in my house and we put our heads together. We came up with what we felt was an effective four-phase program that would target the middle school, especially the eighth graders. And we presented that program to our superintendent at the time, Dr. Tom Parsiak. And after looking at it and, you know, seeing the pros and cons, he said, you know what, we got to put the children first. And thanks to his, common sense and good thinking, he said, let's go for it. And in the fall of 1998, Project Positive Choice was implemented in Copeland Middle School, where it is, still is, and it's been going strong now for 25 years.
So for the listeners, Les, your background, though, you're just a concerned person. You know, unfortunately, your beloved, you know, daughter had a close friend who unfortunately overdosed on heroin.
Correct.
And this is in 1998, and you just highlighted, sadly, 22 local folks in Morris County, New Jersey. And for the listeners that aren't that familiar, Morris County is like an ivory tower community. I mean, they're very wealthy people. It's not the inner city. And right there in Morris County, unfortunately, 22 people overdosed on heroin. And here's the striking and sad reality. It's still going on. Every day, people, sadly, are overdosing. But you and some other folks got involved. But did you think you could do this? I mean, did you have a background in education in terms of, letting the youngsters know about, drug addiction and battling drugs?
Well, no, we were just all, everyday folks, working people that went to work and came home, had a family, wanted to protect their family, do what they, the best they could for them. And it just, the program we do, we're just volunteers. We're a nonprofit. We just care about the people, care about our kids, want them to live, strong, productive lives. And that's how it all started, and that's how it's continued. And that's what we've been doing all this time.
I know you have a big milestone coming up, 25 years, a quarter century, less.
That's correct.
And that's incredible that your organization that you started, really a grassroots cause. And I read that you've educated over 15,000 students. Tell us about those feelings of getting involved, you and a bunch of very concerned citizens, and now 25 years later, what is that like?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a very humbling experience, Todd, to be honest with you. The reason I say that, because when we started, we really didn't know where this program was going to take us. All we knew was that we needed to put something into our middle school, and it couldn't be a one-shot deal where you just, have one speaker come in and, show a video, don't do drugs, just say no. That's not how, you're going to get through to the kids. Our program, we felt, had to be, a year-long program where you hit them consistently over the course of the year. And when we start out, we said, let's see where it takes us. And we didn't know whether it'd be a month, 2 months, a year, 2 years. And it grew to a point where, we were honored, by the state, Senate and Assembly on numerous occasions and different organizations. But also a bill was introduced down in Trenton by he was Assembly Bucco at the time. Now he's Senator Bucco, and his late dad, late Senator Bucco, introduced a bill to have our program be a model for the rest of the state, and where, every middle school child would have the opportunity to go through a program like we did. So, it really has grown over the years. Unfortunately, the bill, never made it out of committees and stuff. But the fact that they even thought about it was, was a nice feeling. But we're just very blessed, and we've just tried and talked to as many people as possible. And we've talked to, like you said, over 15,000 students and adults, in our area about this tragedy that's going on.
Let me ask you this, Les, not to make this overly political, but it seems like basically a no-brainer. Senator Bucco's a great public servant.
Absolutely.
His late father, God bless the Buccos. But is this going to get reintroduced? Because as I research, getting ready for the show, I'm like, this is a vitally important thing to keep the kids educated. So are they going to reintroduce this, Les?
Well, like you said, Todd, it is a no-brainer. And it made it through the Education Committee. In fact, Senator Bucco, now Senator Bucco, was one of the people sitting at my dining room table when we put this program together. So he's been a dear friend for over 30 years, and he's really pushed hard. But, excuse me, politics sometimes, comes into play down in Trenton. And, you would think it's, like you said, easy peasy that, you see something like this that'll benefit every middle school student in New Jersey, but unfortunately that's not the case. But we just forge ahead, regardless of what happens.
For the listeners, and I just have to say, I happen to know Senator Bucco is, like I said, a wonderful person. We should all be writing then to our legislators and Governor Murphy and say, listen, this is a vitally important program. And let's talk a little bit less about how it actually works. So it's not like just a once-a-year program that you're offering to the students. And one of the things that you said, which is basically our children are our most precious resource. And when I saw that quote, it resonated, because if you think about it, every parent good parents do it for the kids. And we also know, unfortunately, the sad reality, when the kids get on the wrong path, they make the wrong choices, not the positive choices. It has a huge consequence, not just for the kids, but the families and the communities. I love that mantra, but how does it work in Rockaway?
Okay, well, as far as our program, you know, it's a four-phase program, Todd. And the first phase we do in the fall, where, and again, it's eighth grade based. So the first speaker we bring in is someone that has been in treatment, who's gone through addiction, who really has a strong story to tell. They come in, they talk to the kids, and we open up to questions and answers. And it breaks down a lot of barriers, because a lot of times the students feel they have nobody they could talk to, and they're afraid to talk to anybody. But when they see people coming in and actually dealing with the same things a family member or a good friend might have had to go with, we've broken down barriers because they're willing to talk about it. And so that's how we get the year started. Then after the first of the year, after the holidays, we bring in someone that's lost a loved one, whether it's a sibling, a parent, a good friend, and they talk about, you know, what it's like to lose someone very close to you. Then the third phase of the program, which we've had to change up, we had Project Pride come in, where we had the prisoners come in, male and female prisoners come in and talk about, you know, how they, you know, ended up incarcerated and got some really strong stories. And, you know, they're serving anywhere from 2 to 15 years, and they come in with their khakis and their guards, you know, the prison guards. So it's the real deal. Unfortunately, COVID sort of put a stop on that. So we've brought in people that very strong stories, real stories, real people. And we just had a great young lady who spoke a couple of weeks ago for our phase three, went through 40 rehabs, lost a brother, lost a fiance, and it really struck home with a lot of people. And that's where the first three phases, we accentuate the negative. Then the fourth phase at the end of the year, which is coming up, is what we call Celebrity Day, where we'll bring in celebrities that'll come and spend the day with the kids and talk about what happens when you can make positive choices. You could do great things. And it's a great all-day program. And, you know, over the years, it started with just a few celebrities, and it's grown. And this year, knock on wood, it's our 25th anniversary, we have 25 celebrities coming in to spend the day with the kids. And anybody from Super Bowl champions to people from Broadway, traffic reporters, actors, actresses, you name it, but all people that want to come up and give, you know, the right message to our kids. And that's how we end the year. And then we just want to make sure they're prepared when they get to high school next year.
Right. And, you know, just for all of us, I was getting ready and I saw Day Top, which is a wonderful local program. I had my great friend Lee Vartan on, a board of trustee, and we talked about Day Top and how important that is. So you're basically educating the kids, mm-hmm. Which I believe communication is so important in education. But you're bringing in people that have gone through addiction, and the kids, the youngsters, can actually see firsthand.
And I was just going to say, since you brought up Day Top, because Day Top was a big part of our program for many, many years. Jim Curtin, the CEO, tremendous person, would bring in the students every year. And that's how we really start out the year with our kids. Unfortunately, due to funding issues and things like that, the long-term residential part of Daytop is no longer, and which we're, you know, very sorry and sad to see, because they serve such an important part of the community and the county. And, you know, I just don't know where those kids that were going to Daytop will go now. And you don't want to see them fall through the cracks. But Daytop was very important to us. And, yeah, you know, like I said, we're sorry to see them leave.
Another troubling thing about the reality of the world, maybe political, I have no idea, but I bang my head against the wall when you hear these things that are wonderful programs. And there's such a need for it. You know, I had Debbie Duhaime on, that wonderful lady. What a beautiful lady.
A very good friend of mine, yes.
News reporter, just a really special person. And, you know, and she was kind enough to introduce me to you and your wonderful program. And one of the things also, the reality, and this is, you know, I don't want to sound like doom and gloom because it's a very positive show, but you brought in families who lost loved ones. And this has got to be an eye-opener, not just to the kids, but to you and your great volunteers, because you're saving lives, though, Les, because if the kids make these horrible decisions, and it could be one bad decision, it only takes one. Right now, I know with the scourge with opioid and fentanyl, like growing up, we didn't have any of that. I have to say, kids would experiment, but we didn't have, you know, the craziness of the drug epidemic now. We're just one bad day, one bad peer group, and your kids are on a path of destruction. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's funny you use that term because I always tell our kids when I'm talking with them, whether it's an assembly or a few at a time, I always say you're one bad decision away from ruining your life. And, you know, that bad decision can stop them from doing a lot of different things, you know, in their career. And it's just really sad that it's come down to that. The, you know, the drug epidemic is just way out of control, and it's a 24/7 battle. And, you know, and when you are talking to families that have lost loved ones, you know, it's, you know, you try and put yourself in their position, but unless you've been there yourself, you really can't. All you can do is empathize, be there, support them, and try and help them get through it and maybe have their message possibly impact other people as well.
But, you know, the beauty of your organization has been going strong for 25 years is you're really making a difference in these kids' lives, but once again, the families' lives. Like, everybody knows stories. For all the listeners, sadly, everybody knows the story. A loved one, a friend, a colleague. Sadly, the kids are overdosing every day, every second throughout our great country, because it's not just Morris County, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. It's throughout our great country where there's story after story, which is heartache after heartache. And that's why when I heard you were going to come on and we could talk about it. Now, education's so important, and communication, because you got to be involved in your kids' lives. The question I had, Les, is eighth grade, by the time the kids are in eighth grade already, sometimes they're on that path of destruction. Has there been a thought even a little younger to educate the kids?
It's, you know, it's funny you bring that up because since our program is eighth grade based and they saw how effective they felt it was and it was making a difference, they asked us, would we bring a speaker in to talk to the seventh grade and to the sixth grade? And over the last few years, that's exactly what we've been doing. They don't get the full program like we do in eighth grade, but sixth grade gets a speaker, you know, an effective speaker, and of course the seventh grade. And in fact, we did that earlier this year, but we were just asked at Copeland, would we bring in another two speakers this week before Memorial Day? And Tuesday we will have someone speaking to the sixth graders again, a very dynamic speaker who you talk about, someone who's been through, I'm going to say through hell and back, is that exactly what it was. Quite a story from this young man. He's going to talk to the sixth graders on Tuesday and on Wednesday. Great, great friend of mine for over 30 years, John Sinclair. He's going to come and tell his story as well. So you're right on the money. You know, middle school is where it all starts. And even though we do eighth grade, sixth and seventh is still not too young to make sure these kids start to get that message.
No question. I mean, like I said, when I was getting ready and I was thinking about the show and the questions asked and maybe what the listeners and viewers wanted to hear from and shout out on Facebook, is the fact is we all are concerned about this. Because like I said, it doesn't matter who you are. Drugs, once it hits your family or a friend or a colleague, has devastating consequences. I know growing up, we had the DARE program and the late Nancy Reagan had the initiative, Just Say No to Drugs. And as simple as it is, it really does ring true and resonate. But you got to go beyond that. Mm-hmm. You got to dig deeper than Just Say No to Drugs. Why do you feel so passionate, Les, about the kids? I mean, what is it? You know, you've been doing a quarter century now, you and your wonderful mom. Volunteers, but what about it?
Well, you know, we do it because they're our future. And the fact that they are very impressionable at an early age. And the whole idea is if we can't get them to start to make good decisions, you know, at the middle school level. Once they get to high school, if they hadn't had somewhat of an education, they're going to be more tempted. They're still going to be impressionable, and they're going to have people that are going to ask them to do things where, you know, maybe if we didn't educate them, they would have made that wrong decision. Maybe from what they heard from us, you know, we keep our fingers crossed that now they'll think twice about it. And we always say to them, if someone's going to ask you something and you're just not sure whether to do it or not, then you don't do it. If there's any question in your mind, you just don't do it. And that's the whole crux of what we're trying to do, is make sure that they don't have to make that decision, that they already know it's not the right thing for them.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's powerful growing up, your peer group, and there's a lot of pressure on the kids. I mean, kids always Absolutely. Have influences. Look, no matter how much you love your kids and you're involved in your kids' lives, they're in school. Mm-hmm. They're outside your control. That's the reality.
Absolutely.
As hard as it is, you got to kind of trust the process and the system. What are the parents' reaction in Rockaway? So, you know, you started a program 25 years ago. What's been the reaction over these many years?
Well, you know, fortunately, you know, our credibility is still there, and nobody's really complained. I guess they feel if we're able to get the message and help their kids, you know, sometimes the students don't want to, or the kids don't want to listen to their parents. It's just that's the way it is.
Hold on, time out. This goes on. No, excuse me. They listen to my wife. To me, less, not so much.
All right, there you go.
Yeah,
So you just reinforced what I was saying. But a lot of times they don't want to listen to, you know, to what the parents are saying. So, you know, by, you know, us bringing, you know, a program such as ours in, it sort of helps take the burden off of the parents, because we're helping sort of get that message to them without the parents having to try and find a way to get that message to them. So, you know, if we're able to lessen the burden and still get the message to them, then, you know, we feel we've done our homework and we can sleep a little bit better at night.
Well, you absolutely should sleep better because you've been so involved. For the listeners, how do they reach you guys, your organization?
Okay, well, you know, you can email us at Leslie Wexler at RTS. AA.org. That's LESLIEWEXLER at RTSAA.org. You can go onto our website at RTSAA.org and see the things we've done, the people we've worked with over the years. And, you know, we're just very humbled and blessed to have so many great people around us doing a program like this. And, you know, and all the celebrities we deal with and that go around the country and talk to other groups, they said, you know, we've never seen a program like it in all the places we go. And we, you know, like they say, that's why they come up every year, because they know it's something that's unique, that no one else has done it, and they don't understand why. You know, sometimes I'm a little baffled by that also, but,
baffled by what?
By the fact that no other schools do a program like this. And it's not like they have to recreate the wheel. I mean, we have it there for them. Like I said, they could have, you know, if, Trenton, pass that bill, every middle school would have that opportunity. But, you know, we can only do so much from our end. But, you know, as long as we can do what we can do, and if we can help others, you know, when we can, we'll certainly try and do that.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, we're not a political show, but I would urge everybody to reach out to the legislators and basically say, why can't we pass this critically important legislation? Because if the kids, sadly, get mixed up in drugs, doesn't matter what education you get, they could be gone. And the family will never get over it. You know, sadly, this is the stark reality of it, Les. Mm-hmm. When someone loses a loved one, they never get over it. They never, ever. I have family, friends that I've known that they lost a kid, a son or a daughter, and they are still, they're screwed up still. I mean, they live, but they don't live because they lost a treasure. And that's the beauty of your organization, Les, is you guys are trying to make the community better.
Well, just to give you a quick example, Todd, one of our speakers that comes, you know, talking about where it doesn't discriminate, you know, drugs do not discriminate. One of our speakers, Army veteran, served in Afghanistan, one of four brothers, and he came back, got heavily involved with drugs, really bad shape, tried to commit suicide. Three of the four brothers got addicted. His oldest brother sadly died. And the ironic part about it is their father's a police chief in one of the towns in New Jersey. So that's why we say, you know, it's going to affect anybody and everybody. I don't even know how a family like Anthony's, you know, moves forward, especially what they've been through, but they do. And that's why it makes what we do even that much more important. And having someone like Anthony come and talk about his story makes it very important. And there's nothing special about Rockaway Township with our kids. Our kids are no different than the ones from South Jersey, North Jersey, wherever you want to go in this country or in this state. Every kid is the same. Every kid should have the same opportunity to get the same type of message. And that's all we're trying to do.
Right. So one of the things, too, Les, is the folks that have battled addiction, and thankfully, because they're always battling it. I mean, I believe from what everything I understand is you're still, unfortunately, one horrible choice away from losing your battle. But these folks are courageous. They're sharing their journey. Mm-hmm. Which is a courageous thing to do, to stand up in front of kids and say, look, this is what I've gone through, but also trying to help and lift up and educate. What is it like when you hear the actual folks? Because they don't have to do that. It's private. I mean, no one wants to say, I'm a drug addict. I've been battling for years. What's it like when you see these brave folks come forward?
Well, I tell you, it's really heartwarming to see. And, you know, and the people that come in by us, we've all become good friends. You know, with us, we're all family. And so once they're up here, they, you know, they're part of our mission that we've been doing all these years. But like you said, Todd, they don't have to come in. They're opening up their personal lives to hundreds of people at a time. That you have to be a special type of person to want to be able to come and do that. And it just shows you that they really care about giving back and sharing their experience and the fact that they try to kill themselves. They almost died. They put their families through everything, almost ruined themselves, ruined their families' lives. And they feel this is a small way of them being able to give back. And you don't know how much we appreciate them wanting to come in. And when they hear that, you know, what we do up here, we have more people than, you know, we can tell you that want to come in and talk to our kids and help where they can. And that to us is just very, like I said, humbling.
So, Les, one of the reasons why I do the show is there are wonderful people out there that are trying to make a difference, that are not afraid to share their journey, their life, and their difficulties. Because I don't care who you are, mm-hmm. everybody goes through stuff.
Absolutely.
I always believe in this. You could be a billionaire or a homeless person. You're going to go through things in your life, including, sadly, people touched by drugs.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to the best families, the worst families. And when I say the best, doesn't mean they're the best people, but the quote-unquote best or the worst. It could happen to anyone. But you've seen firsthand those, you know, the speakers come forward and the kids. What are the kids' reaction when they see, like, some of these are famous people, they come forward, people not famous, but just telling a gripping story? What are the kids' reactions?
Well, as I had mentioned earlier, you know, we've broken down barriers because you'd be surprised how many people have, after our speaker has come in and spoken, they'll go and talk to a guidance counselor, talk to a teacher, come to us because they have a personal story that they want to share. Just real quick, one time when we had a speaker come in, it might have been when Daytop was coming up, one of the speakers was talking, and when it got to question and answer, one of the students in the audience raised his hand and wanted to tell us that his brother died of a heroin overdose a week before that. And so you wouldn't normally get somebody to do, especially a youngster, middle school youngster, to do that, but he wanted to share the story in front of his classmates, in front of everybody there. So having things like that occur tells you that, you know, you are reaching them. And, you know, and that makes it all worthwhile.
It's incredible. This is, once again, the young kid was courageous enough. But this is one of the other things that's so problematical in our society. The same issue with mental health. People don't want to talk about it. They have a mental health issue. Same thing with, like, drug addiction. It's like a dirty secret. You got to get it out there. There's no way. You're not going to get better if you have a drug issue, if you have a mental health issue, if you sweep it under the carpet or the rug. You have to get it out there. What are your thoughts about that?
You know what? At one time, there was a stigma associated with that. Over the last several years, I'm finding more and more people are willing to come out and talk about it, because they know there's a lot more people that are in the same position or have gone through the same things they have. And it's, again, it's great to see that they want to come out and talk about it. Like when I'll talk to just friends or people, you know, acquaintances, talk to them, or even strangers about what we do, all of a sudden they'll say, well, I have a past. And they'll talk to me, people that didn't know me, you know, from the next guy, but know because of what we've done, they'll come and tell me their stories. And some of them are quite revealing. And it just shows you that now everybody wants to be able to share a story because they know there's a lot more of them out there.
No question, Les, about it. We're going to take a short break and be back in 30 seconds.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.
Welcome back. We have Les Wexler. Positive choices, a brighter future. What's a more important mantra for our kids than keeping them off of drugs? You know, Les, you were telling us about folks sharing their stories, sharing their journey, and that's part of the journey of giving back is to basically share what you know, your knowledge. And unfortunately, in the world of drug addiction, these folks' knowledge is drug addiction. Mm-hmm. They know one overdose after another, sadly, losing friends, family members, but they're still going. The resiliency of these individuals is really remarkable. You know, I was touching on the kids, and your organization has touched over 15,000 kids. That's a lot of kids. What's their feedback? Do you ever hear from them years later, you know, Les and your incredible team? Hey, what you guys did made a difference.
Well, yeah, we do hear back from, you know, many of them. You know, we've seen them along the way, but they'll remember certain parts about our program, and which, you know, makes us feel good because a lot of times, you know, you don't remember what you did yesterday. But the fact that they do remember certain parts of our program, whether it's the celebrities or a certain speaker, tells us that they were listening, that they got something out of it. But even more important, Todd, is the fact that they'll go home and share with their parents what they heard in school. And that, to us, is really knocking down barriers, because if one of the students wants to go home and talk to their parents about what's going on, then you know you've reached them, and we know that because the parents will come up to us, you know, when we see them at some point and tell us that, and you know, so they're thankful that we're getting that message to them and that the kids are listening. So you know, even several years after the fact, you know, it still happens, and we hope it'll continue to be that way.
You know, the kids also, you can't underestimate the kids. You know, some parts of the population bash the kids. The kids are no good. The kids are all screwed up. The kids are wonderful. And you know, this is another example of where the kids really do pay attention, and they're a lot more in tune with what's going on than I think some people really underestimate those folks. So, you know, part of my show, which I love to do, is put the spotlight on volunteers. You've been involved with so many wonderful people, and it just all started right, like a few folks getting together. What's the teamwork like? What's the value of teamwork, Les, from your perspective?
Well, I tell you, we're very fortunate. We have a great team of Alliance members that have been there for us over the years. they get involved because they know we truly make a difference, and we just don't come and have a meeting and, you know, and that's all you do. Over the course of the year, besides our program, you know, we'll do fundraisers. We reach out to different people through the community. And we've been very fortunate to have the superintendent, the Board of Ed be very supportive, the mayor, the town council, the police, clergy, you name it, Senator Bucco, even though politics, when you come into our meeting, politics stays out of the picture, but having them involved and being part of what we're trying to do is a big plus. In fact, with law enforcement, not only with our police chief, Marty McParland, and the police, the Rockaway Township Police Department, but from the Morris County Sheriff's Department, Ed Rochford for many years was a big supporter, and now Jimmy Gannon.
Right.
So, you know, having them on your side and working as a team, there's a lot of entities that go into something like this. So, and corporations, we've been very blessed to have some great people help us over the course of the years with fundraisers. And it's, you know, and that's what you need. And when everybody's working for the same reason, for the same goal, it makes things a lot easier. And you know, again, we have a great team all the way around. And, you know, hopefully that'll continue.
So one of the things I say over and over on my show, maybe the listeners like it, maybe they don't, is I hope they like it, trying to grow the audience. The idea of putting your hat in the ring in life, doing something, don't be scared, don't be worried, don't care about what other people say. If it's in your heart and soul that you think you should do it and there's something good about it for yourself, but for the community as a whole. You and so many wonderful people threw your hat in the ring. Were you nervous? Like, was it like an unknown deal?
No, not at all. You know, I always say I've always been a positive person in life. You know, I think I got that from my mom many years ago. But I, being a positive person, I always try and look at the best in people, try and do what I can to help other people. And that's really what I do. You know, life is too short. And, you know, and if you can give just a little bit of yourself back, then, you know, when your time comes, you know, the good Lord will send you to the right place. And then, and that's all this is about. You know, it's not that it's hard work. You know, we enjoy what we do. Not that we enjoy that it's substance abuse, but the fact that we like to help other people. We like to give back. If we can save people's lives, if we can help with interventions, if we can help people get themselves better, then, you know, I'm all for it, and that's what we all want to do.
Yeah, I got to give a shout out to Sheriff Gannon. I mean, this sheriff never stops.
That's
for
sure.
They have the Hope Initiative. I see the Hope Mobile. I'm driving on Route 10. I see the Hope Mobile. I think immediately Sheriff Gannon, the wonderful people making a difference.
Absolutely.
Trying to educate the public and give them hope. But the reality is that they're really educating the public, which is, I think, vitally important. Look, you just brought up your late, is your mom, I'm assuming she's in heaven.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. Her and my dad.
So we just had a Mother's Day special. It was a beautiful, touching show because I owe everything to my parents. I was blessed beyond words. But what about your mom? You just said something about how she instilled in you something really important.
Well, my mom was always the glasses half filled, not half empty. And she was a fighter. If she knew there was something that needed to be changed, she certainly did it. We grew up in Passaic, and, you know, she had some battles where she needed to. She was, you know, a hardworking mom. My dad was disabled, and, you know, so she worked full time and still took on the chores of, you know, raising three children. And but when it came time to her kids, if she felt there was something that was not right, anybody that knew my mom and Debbie Duhame and could tell you also. She would fight for what she felt was right. And that's just the way she was. And that's evidently she instilled a lot of those qualities, I'll say positive qualities, into me. And that's something that I'll share and I'll remember for the rest of my life.
Well, I'm sure your late mom is very proud of you and your dad because, you know, this is another thing about I studied the human condition. I still try to figure myself out, which is a full-time job. You know, talk about something. You got to look in the mirror. You got to deal with it, right?
Sure.
No, but when you're a parent, what you do actually impacts your kids. You don't realize. It's one thing to say something. When you do something good, your kids actually notice. And you're a shining example of watching your mom and what she stood for rubbed off on you in a good way. And that's why it's important to set an example for the kids. You know, the teamwork that you've been able to garner and this organization, there's a camaraderie there, an esprit de corps that you've developed over all these years. And that's the other beautiful thing about getting involved in an organization. I tell the listeners, I don't care what you get involved in, just do something. You know, mm-hmm. There's so many wonderful clubs out there, the Rotarians, the Kiwanians, I mean, you name it. You know, there's so many civic clubs out there, the Women's Association, whatever you're into, Special Olympics, whatever it might be. Okay. Yeah. But what's that like, the esprit de corps, now that you see so many folks with the common goal of keeping the kids off of drugs?
Well, you know, it's what you want to see. You want people to sort of work all for the same reason. Over the years, Todd, you know, I've been involved with numerous organizations. I was a councilman many years ago, but I was involved with different organizations, all, you know, trying to make things better for that particular organization. But once it came to, you know, the Substance Abuse Alliance and seeing that you can make a real difference with real people, that's where, you know, I focused most of my energy on, you know, still working full time, but doing this volunteer work, which, you know, sometimes seemed like, you know, it was a full time job, but it was a passion. And it's sort of, you know, once that's instilled in you and, you know, that passion is inside of you, you know, you never want to go back. You want to just keep moving forward. And it sort of is contagious to the people around you. And when they see what you're doing and other people are doing, they want to become part of it. And that's how things have gotten bigger and better, and, you know, worked with all these great people. You know, Daryl Strawberry's a good friend of ours. You know, you talk about someone with a story, he's incredible. And just people like that. And but just anywhere from Daryl to, you know, Main Street USA people. And this is what it's all about. And it's something, you know, I'll cherish for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Daryl Strawberry, a tremendous baseball player. I mean, world-class athlete. Unfortunately, he's had his own battles, but to his credit, he's risen above. But in the process, he's educated so many folks.
Absolutely.
So their eyes are open to someone extraordinarily successful, a tremendous athlete, a physical specimen, got mixed up, but he righted the ship. Mm-hmm. But the beauty of Daryl is, right, he's educating the kids, because the kids look up to athletes.
Absolutely.
Everybody looks up to athletes.
Well, that's it. And you know what? And his story, he could tell you from firsthand, and it's quite a powerful story if you ever get the chance to hear him speak.
Yeah, no, I've listened to him, and he's a wonderful person.
He sure is.
I also, you know, understand how grateful you are, and I always believe, I pray every day, I'm very grateful for everything I have. I take nothing for granted. To the good Lord, you know, mm-hmm. I just feel blessed beyond words. I know gratitude is really important to you, Les. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, as far as, you know, being grateful and the gratitude of, you know, so many people, I you don't even know how to put it into words. You just get up each morning, you do what you feel is right and hope at the end of the day you're able to, help, you know, either even one person, and, you know, and having the people around you that are trying to do the same thing you are. Yep, that's all this is about. I'm grateful, the gratitude from everybody that has been part of it. And that is something I'll have for me for the rest of my life, regardless of what happens going forward.
You know, this is the other thing too. I mean, I study so many different things in my life, trying to improve myself. I think everybody's a, you know, constant, never ending improvement.
Right.
You know, if you think you've arrived, then I think you better stop and think about it. You got a ways to go. You have this big event June 1st. It's star-studded. I mean, you got a whole cast, like a who's who of different, you know, walks of life and different, you know, personalities, really well-known folks. And you're celebrating 25 years on June 1st. I can see you have a lot of athletes and different people that are extraordinarily successful. How do you draw these people that, you know, want to come and talk to the kids? Because it's a big commitment for these folks.
Well, what it is, and you know, when we started with, like I said, a couple of athletes. And the first one that really came up was Al Dixon, who played pro ball. He won a Super Bowl with the 49ers. And he actually got the ball rolling with one or two or three athletes. But over the years, he moved away. And a good friend of mine, Derek Murphy, who played for the Harlem Globetrotters for many years, he's like a brother to me. And he has a lot of great contacts. He brings up the people that he feels would be good for the type of program we do. And then fortunately, over the years from the program we've done, I've made friends with some great people like NBA Hall of Fame coach Bob Hurley,
right,
who I've known for over 20 years.
St. Anthony's coach.
Yes.
His son just won it all, Danny Hurley. And the Huskies. What about that?
Well, I'll tell you, you talk about a legendary family.
Yeah.
And his son Bobby won two championships with Duke under Mike Krzyzewski.
Right.
Bob was supposed to come up June 1st, but it's his granddaughter's wedding. So he's coming up separately on June 15th. And so he'll be coming up as well. But he could have just said, no, I'm not doing it. But they all want to come up because they know what the program means to us and to the kids. So, I mean, like you said, you know, anything from Bob Hurley, Caitlin Roy DeBellis, she's the hero teacher from Sandhook Elementary School. She saved her entire class from being massacred from that lunatic. We don't mention his name. And she comes up every year. Or comes out from Connecticut to be part of this because she wants to be able to give back. And believe me, these speakers, these celebrities don't get paid much money. You know, we're a nonprofit. They do it for the love of it, not because, you know, they're getting rich. Nobody gets rich on our program, but they just come because they know no one else does what we do. They enjoy it and they're able to give back. Even like Jeffrey Owens from the Cosby Show, he's done a lot of great things. He's been on different TV shows. He was known as Elvin. He comes up. Stephen Baker, who won a Super Bowl.
Touchdown maker.
The touchdown maker, he'll be here. David Tyree, who won.
Oh, my God, what a catch.
So Andrew McCardle, the original Annie. Shelley Bruce, who played Annie after Andrea. All great, all down-to-earth people that just want to be able to help. And they're all friends. They're all family.
I have a cool story about Bobby Hurley. So I was coaching Special Olympics basketball for years and years and years. I love basketball. I have a signed book from Coach Hurley. It was the perfect season. And I still have it. It's in my library. And I love it because there's a connection with greatness. Because what he did at St. Anthony's is like, you know, off the charts.
Well, I'll put the offer out to you now, Todd. June 15th, he'll be speaking. It's not open to everybody, but if you'd like to come and meet the coach and be see him, we'd love for you to be there.
Yeah, what a wonderful person.
Yeah, he really is.
So, you know, for the listeners and the viewers, how do they reach you again, Positive Choices?
Okay, well, you can go. Well, if you go on our website, rtsaa.org, to see everything we've done and other information, or if you want to contact me, you can email me at Leslie Wexler, LeslieWexler at rtsaa.org. We'll certainly get back to you. We're there to help where we can. And, if we can change, you know, someone's life for the better, that's one life at a time.
And that's true about life too, Les. You know, if you could change one person's life, it's the ripple effect. I've had the D'Amico's on, a horrible story. Unfortunately, they lost their 10-year-old son in a horrible boating accident. But they're very courageous people. I love the D'Amico's, Chris and Lori. They're incredible people. But it's the ripple effect. You do one thing for one person, and it changes not just their life, but many others, because it's crazy how the world works.
Yeah, it sure is.
You know, like meeting people like you makes me a better person. And then maybe someone listening today is like, you know, I've got a kid who's mixed up with drugs and they don't know where to turn, but there's always hope. Or there's someone thinking about making a bad choice and they're going to listen today, or their parents going to take time and talk to their kids and say, you know, who are you hanging out with? Because here's the other thing. There's so many things to go over with.
Sure.
You. Ready to jump out of my chair. Sorry. Got a little worked up. But the point is, the reason why I love the show also is hopefully it educates people.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it opens their eyes to whatever issue they're faced. Because no one's alone. Everybody thinks, oh, I'm alone. I've never been through this before. They're in a lonely, dark place. I'm going to put the spotlight on actually there's wonderful people that can help you.
Mm-hmm.
What's your advice for parents with their kids about knowing what they're doing?
Well, I tell you, that's a good one, because social media has really changed the ball game. A lot of times, you know, you have families that are working, whether it's moms and dads or whoever, and the kids are on social media, you know, basically all day. You don't know what they're seeing, who they're reaching out to, what's going on. We always tell the parents, try and keep tabs on what your child is doing. I know it's easier said than done. When I was growing up with my, well, not so much when I was growing up, when my kids were growing up, you know, there weren't cell phones in the beginning. There weren't, I think computers were just about in there, but not to the extent where social media has taken over everybody's life, that their phones, and the parents just have to try and get a better handle on what's going on. You hope their children will have good friends, make good friends, make good decisions. Of course, as we both know, that's not always the case. So, you know, we can only offer so much advice to the parents, but if they can keep a better handle on what their kids are doing, you know, maybe you have a fighting chance at that point.
No question about it. I mean, this is an example of where I think common sense comes into play.
Absolutely.
You have to know who your kids are hanging out with. You have to know who their peer group is. You also have to be mindful if your child is starting to change their behavior from being outgoing, positive now to be very withdrawn. They're in their room for hours at a time. They're losing their interest. And you got to talk to your kids. You got to find out, like, what's up? Now, look, all parents kind of candidly have their head up their butt sometimes in their own lives because they got other issues. But the kids are the future, and you got to take time and say, hey, listen, what's up, man? You're not leaving your room. Or, hey, who are you hanging out with? I don't know that person.
Yeah, there's certainly warning signs, Todd. I mean, you just mentioned a couple of them, but their attire, you know, their eating habits, hygiene. There's so many different things that can sort of give you an idea something's not right. If they've gone from just being a normal everyday person that you've always loved and, you know, saw the best of them, and now all of a sudden you see these changes, keep a close eye on that and, you know, see what's going on, because if you can't talk to them, if they don't want to tell you what's going on, then, you know, maybe it's try and go for counseling, try and get someone that can intervene and help. And you hope it's not going to happen, but sadly, of course, it does.
Well, that's the reality why your organization is so vitally important.
I wish we weren't in business, I'll be honest with you. But the fact that we are, you know, at least they have a resource. Families and other people out there have a resource. If we can't personally help them, we can try and guide them in the right direction.
Well, I mean, I think really prevention is the most important thing.
That's
you
what
don't
this
want
is all
your
about.
Kids getting mixed up, because once they get mixed up in these really heavy drugs, and once again, as a young kid, we didn't have these kind of crazy drugs out there. They were candidly, maybe I was in my own little utopia, but the inner city had some of those major drug issues. Mm-hmm. Where I grew up was more marijuana, and there was some experimentation with alcohol. And I know you also tackle alcohol and tobacco, mm-hmm. which candidly is also a very important issue, especially alcohol abuse. But the kids nowadays are exposed at such a young age, and this whole fentanyl and opioid crisis, it's mind-boggling because it's everywhere.
Well, you know, the fact that the fentanyl is just overtaking everything, and it's being mixed in with any kind of drug you can think of. It's mixing in with marijuana. Marijuana is not the safe drug that some people want to make it sound like it is. It certainly has long-term effects, and anybody that wants to tell you no, they're not being honest with you. But fentanyl is being mixed in with meth, amphetamines, heroin, cocaine, and all it takes is one hit and you're finished. I mean, it is 40, 50, 100 times more powerful than heroin. And we knew heroin, and we still know heroin is very powerful and deadly. But fentanyl, 50 to 100 times more powerful than heroin.
So I have to also explore with you briefly, Les, your daughters. I mean, you know, what's your family's reaction with your kids knowing that you as a person knew there was tragic circumstances, 22 folks overdosed, and you did something? What's your kids' reaction?
Well, you know, I'm not immune to what's going on out there either. My oldest daughter, we were halfway through probably 12, 13 years into our program, and I had gotten a call that my daughter was arrested for using for stealing painkillers. And so that was the first we knew that she was using. And we think it was because she had like an operation. They gave her pain pills and stuff, and she got addicted to that. And, you know, she went through some tough times, and, you know, it just shows you, but thank God, you know, knock on wood.
God bless you and your family.
She's doing it, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy because there were relapses and things of that nature. But the fact is, like we said, with other families, no one is immune to it. Doesn't matter who you are or if you have a program like what we do or you as a parent, it can hit anybody at any time. And that's exactly, you know, why we do what we do. So it's not like I started because of my daughter, because of my oldest daughter, but because we knew there were other problems and this has just happened to have happen along the way.
My apologies. I didn't bring any water with me.
No, that's quite all right.
You want to know?
I'm okay now.
Out of my house early this morning. I was going to bring a bottle of water, and I was running late, like unfortunately I do sometimes. And anyway, I'm sorry.
I won't hold that against you, Todd. Don't worry about it.
You can hold it. Blame me. Hopefully this. No, but you know, less on a serious note. Thank you for sharing that very personal, you know, situation where you're feeling. But this is you're not very courageous to let people know. Even you, an educator in this field now,
right,
25 years. No one is impervious to drug usage. No one. And that's the reason why you have to do your best, because here's the reality of it all.
Absolutely.
It can strike you at any moment, one bad decision. You know, talking to the kids, you know, do you have thoughts on, you know, what's a good age to talk to the kids about drug usage?
Well, like we said, it's never too young. But, you know, they were doing DARE in, I guess, fifth grade. You know, DARE was good, but it never really hit the heart of the problem, and it never kept up with the realities of what was going on in today's world. But I would say sixth grade is not too young. I mean, I do substitute teaching. I see the kids. I see what goes on, sixth, seventh, and eighth graders, regardless of what town it is. So they're pretty savvy. And if you can start at the sixth grade level, then you definitely are not missing the mark. It's not too young. And then it only grows from there. So I would certainly say anybody that's listening that wants to know when they could start reaching out and talking to kids and about this this epidemic and about the drug problem and prevention and education, sixth grade, I think, is a good time to start.
Yeah. You know, also, though, some people think if you mention it means the kids are going to do it. And it's the opposite. You have to educate the kids because you're living in a different twilight zone if you don't think the kids are going to be exposed to drug usage. So those people that think, oh, if I bring it up, that means they're going to be prone to using drugs. That's not how it's going to work in the real world. But you have to educate.
Absolutely. That's where it all starts.
You know, the things that I was thinking about also was just other things to keep the kids into more of a positive program in life. Could be sports, organizations, could be something they're interested in, something that you know they're doing something safe in an environment that you know what's going on. Because here's the reality. If the kids are alone and you don't know what they're doing, who knows what the heck is going on, right? What are your thoughts about keeping the kids in something positive?
Well, you know, any activity that the kids are, a positive activity that the kids are involved with is always a good thing. But you also want, whether it's sports, you want the coaches to also try and get a message to their players. Whether it's dance, whatever, you know, competition or whatever kind of field that the kids or sport they're going into, you want their teachers, their coaches, whatever they are, to still try and get that message, because they might not be a parent, but they're going to be spending quite a bit of time with them. And you want to make sure that they can sort of, you know, make sure that they get positive decisions and move forward. So that would be a great place to start also, not only for the parents, because they can only do so much, but the coaches and everybody below that, it's certainly advised.
Les, before we, you know, end this really important, you know, interview today, and it means so much you took your time out of your day, any advice for the listeners about getting involved in the community?
Well, you know, for any community that wants to, you know, get involved with prevention, education, first get a good core group of people, whether it's three or four, that all have the same mindset, that want to help, and do it for the right reasons. Don't do it because, you know, you want to get your name out there for something down the road. If you really care about the kids and you want to do something positive and help them as they get older, just make sure you have the right group of people. Doesn't have to be many. It could be two, three, four. Start with that. And, you know, we can come in and talk to you if you want. We can do what we can. And, you know, if you've got the willingness and you want to make things happen, I would say go for it.
Well, Les, I just want to thank you and your wonderful organization right here in Rockaway Township, New Jersey. Positive choices, a brighter future. It means the world to me that folks like you are out there making a difference, educating the public, making the world better. Remember this. We're all in this together. If the kids get on the wrong path in life, we all suffer. We have to lift each other up and educate and be involved in our kids' lives. It's so important. Listen to your kids. Spend time with your kids. If your kids are showing something that doesn't make sense to you, sit down and talk to them. Don't hide from the problem. Take it head on. Once again, folks like Les Wexler are out there. You can do it, too. You can make a difference. Put your hat in the ring. Start doing something. Doesn't matter what it is. Do it for the right reasons. You'll be rewarded in so many ways, but most importantly, you'll be lifting up the community. God bless you, and please tune in next week. Take care.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to LeonardCharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.